Okay, subscribers, this is just for you. Stephanie and I are going to continue our conversation about feminism and stupid fucking Trump, and maybe take a couple more questions, which I didn't even... I actually posted the call for questions on both of my Facebook pages, and I've only been looking at one, so I'm going to go to the other. But, oh my God, when I was watching... Bob and I were watching the... You know, like everybody else on election night, the results. I think that pretty much goes. That's the worst night of my life.
I think it was the worst night of my life.
Totally with you. It was so awful.
Totally with you. I mean, I've lost a parent, and that was, you know, easily one of the saddest, most horrible experiences of my life. But there was a finality to it. And then I could just go on and continue to love him and, you know, my father. But this is the worst night of my life. That is a gift that keeps on giving in the most negative possible way.
Right. Well, you know, I just hope that, I mean, right now we're at a point where if the Democrats really rise up, if progressives in this country rise up, and even the people who were not supportive of Hillary can find a way to put aside whatever upset them about this general election and work to defeat Donald Trump. And if we can successfully, you know, like, let's say we're stuck with him until 2020. If we can successfully win back seats in 2018, if we can get a really great leader for the DNC that takes a zip code strategy and sends out, you know, hand picks Democrats for each state to go to town halls and to take questions. And if Democrats themselves, like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and all these people, will do more televised town halls or just local town halls, go on Fox News and educate. I think that we can take this this accident and that is Trump and use it as a cautionary tale. But if we don't do it, then I think we set a new precedent for fucking morons to run the country
and a country run by fascists.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna let Steve Bannon run the show, and we can't do that. So, all right, well, I'm gonna go to another question. Let's see. Joseph wants to know, I mean, this is going to be a hard question. How do we combat discrimination, racism, and sexism in this country in order to be an equal society? I know that it has to be taught in our schools, starting from preschool. I don't think it's taught. Well, I don't think it's taught either. And now that we have DeVos or whatever her name is, that she's been confirmed, I don't think we're going to get it in schools. I think, obviously, how do we combat discrimination? Well, yeah, obviously it starts with education, but it also starts in the home. I mean, it starts with having parents who are teaching their children that we are all equal and that we all deserve the same opportunities as long as we are, you know, putting the effort in. It's like you said, your father said you could be a president as long as you put the effort in.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, it really, we've got to really... Parents have to do a lot of work because, unfortunately, what some of that work that should have been lifted from parents' shoulders, not that they shouldn't ever have that responsibility of teaching their children the difference between good and bad, but you would think that sending your kid off to school, they're going to get some kind of an education on, you know, not to discriminate, not to be sexists or whatever, but that's less and less. That's happening less and less. So, I mean, that's what I have to say about it is we have to vote, actually. We have to vote, we have to show up, and then we have to get things going in the right direction with education, with legislation. Because, you know, I made a point, it's funny, I made a point in my book, American Woman, about how hearts change. And it's pretty much the same point Hillary Clinton made, actually. And I wish I could go back and unwrite this, but I used the Cosby Show as an example. And of course, we all know that Bill Cosby is like a rapist, and I wish I hadn't. But, you know, nobody really knew this. I didn't know this when I was writing the book. All I knew about Bill Cosby was he changed the conversation. He showed us a successful black family that we all loved. I mean, I loved the Cosby Show.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
It was a staple. My mother mm-hmm. liked it. We watched it, and it was just it. He changed. He helped to change. I mean, obviously, it wasn't the Cosby Show alone. You know, there was also the Jeffersons, and there were all kinds of influences out there that helped to rewrite how America viewed Black people. But first, you know, I mean, it's like some argue what comes first, legislation or hearts. Well, I think kind of legislation plays the first role. And this is what Hillary told some Black Lives Matter activists, that you're not always going to change hearts, but what you can do is change the laws. And then people have to, you know, they have to live by those laws or they risk getting punished. And then eventually that spills out into, after a period of time, we're just used to that law. It just becomes commonplace and it's not even questioned anymore. And right. I think that, you know, people's hearts start to change once we have really good role models and we have legislation that makes it illegal to discriminate. So, I mean, I know that kind of like a long, maybe confusing answer, but in the end, it comes down to legislation and then role models.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. And I had this conversation with my 12 and a half year old son who brought up that Hillary opposed gay marriage. And I said, and Obama came around on that, mm-hmm. on that issue as well. Mm-hmm. I said, people learn and grow. And if I'm a firm believer of, if you fuck up or if you make a bad decision and you do something that maybe you're not proud of or that you want to go back later and say, hey, guess what? I've learned since I made that decision and now I believe this. And so I'm going to do everything I can to correct it mm-hmm. or to go in this other direction. That I think we're still a young nation. I think that fear motivates people and loss of power motivates people. And when we give power to Mexican Americans who, you know, I grew up being called a beaner. Mm-hmm. I went to primarily or predominantly white schools. I grew up in the South Bay and, you know, my parents were upper middle class and we went to phenomenal public schools our whole lives, but we were the brown kids. And the only mm-hmm. other Z's really, you know, kids whose last name ended with Z were like the Horowitzes and yeah. they, you know, they weren't sore thumbs. You know, we couldn't get away from the fact that we were brown.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. We had discourse over this online once, but it crushes a person mm-hmm. to know that they're being rejected because of something they can't change about themselves.
Yeah.
And rather than be proud, I cowered.
Yeah.
And then I changed my opinion of that. And just as, you know, folks who may have opposed gay marriage have come around, I think we can come around as a society and as, you know, a country. And so I hope I'm not too off point, but I think it starts with educating our kids. I think it starts with educating grownups mm-hmm. who may have a different viewpoint. And, you know, this whole, I want to talk about just for a second, if I can kind of go in this direction a little bit, but with this whole, you know, the Muslim ban and keeping immigrants and refugees from coming into this country, you know, we need to educate human beings on how to talk to the heart mm-hmm. and look at these people as people and nothing else. Mm-hmm. These are people who are seeking refuge. These are people who want a better life for themselves and for their children. And so we've got to keep fighting. We have to keep saying that's unconstitutional, Donald. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit. People are people. Okay. I always go back to Depeche Mode. People are people. So you know what I mean? Come yeah. on.
Exactly.
We all just want to thrive. We all just want to get along.
Yeah. And there was a meme out there talking about, you know, the definition of refugee is somebody escaping terrorism, as they are not the terrorists. They are escaping the terrorists. But that kind of brings me back to what you just said about education. I think one of the ways that we can help end discrimination, and it's like you said, it's talking to their hearts. Democrats, I read an article in Salon by this man who said that the Democrats miss the mark because they don't focus on values, that Republicans always focus on values. And I mean, it's not to say that Democrats always miss the mark. Clearly, we've gotten a lot accomplished for human rights and civil rights. But when we don't win, it's because we fail to talk about values. And I think that's where, going back to the idea, Democrats need to go to the heartland. They need to go to the Rust Belt. They need to talk to people in red states who are, you know, online and seeing people like me saying fuck and vagina, and they're so disgusted by me, and they think I'm so horrible. They need, you know, representation in their towns to say, hey, look, whether, you know, I'm a Christian like you, but I believe that we should be treated equal. If they are able to, you know, go state by state and just talk to people, you know, like Elizabeth Warren, she's like your freaking grandma with vanilla cookies and milk on the table. And she's just like, oh golly, you know, and she's just so heartfelt. And then, you know, you've got somebody like Bernie Sanders who appeals to a whole new crowd, whether it's millennial crowd or, you know, the independent crowd or some of the, you know, he appealed to me. I really liked his message. And, you know, and I know that he would appeal to many Republicans because Donald Trump was on the other side of the coin of Bernie Sanders. You know, Bernie Sanders is all about equality, but, you know, he's also basically saying, okay, we don't like the corruption in Washington. That's what people who voted for Trump didn't like. So if we have these strong, strong leaders who know how, who have charisma and who know how to talk to people and can answer questions, it's like one of the failings of the Democratic Party specifically in 2014 and 2016 was we did not explain. Barack Obama, the White House, Democrats, from senators all the way down, didn't explain the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. And and so their constituents either didn't realize what they were missing or what, or, you know, if they didn't get money, if the state didn't take money, they didn't understand what was happening. They loved maybe Affordable Care Act, but they hated Obamacare. They didn't realize it was the same thing. So Democrats have to really get stronger with their messaging. And I think when they do that, and when they talk about values, we will be able to kind of get into the hearts and minds of some of these people who are spending their days listening to Rush Limbaugh. It doesn't mean we're going to get all of them. But if we can grab a few, plus get some new voters in there, I think, you know, that's how we go about ending, you know, because we've got to kick out those Tea Party Republicans who got in 2010 and who just went crazy with the discriminatory legislation. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of people who aren't paying attention in midterms, and that's how it happens. You know, everybody pays attention to the general, but when you don't pay attention to midterms, you're missing such an opportunity because these are the people that are making laws that we have to live by.
Right.
So,
and so, you know, all of us that voted and all of us that are actively resisting, and just, you know, I just kind of want to put my head down on the pillow tonight and wake up and have it be the midterms.
I know.
Because there's so much work that needs to be done between now and then, right?
Yeah.
We've got, you hit the nail on the head when you said get new voters, I believe. Because we all know the direction we're going to go.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Those of us and the majority and the popular vote knows the direction it's going to go, and it's going to stay the course, and we're going to fight even harder. We got to get the new people.
Well, I think that there's two people right now who want to be the head of the DNC. We've got Tom Perez, who was the former labor secretary, and we've got Keith Ellison. Now, I heard Perez on Rachel Maddow, and I really like him. And I know some of the Bernie people are not thrilled with him, but his message sounded exactly like Bernie. Everything he said, we're a big tent. He said, we have to go zip code. We have to do this zip code by zip code. We have to do this all year long. It's a 50 straight strategy. But I looked on, you know, and I wondered about Keith Ellison, and I looked on his website about his plan, and he also has a good plan.
Yeah.
Right now I am leaning towards Perez, but if Keith Ellison, you know, looking at his plan, because he's talking about training people to go on news programs like Fox News, and because you need to be trained to know how to deal with Sean Hannity when he throws these ridiculous questions at you. I think they both have really good ideas. And I think as long as we have strong leadership in the Democratic Party, I think we're going to go really far. And it needs to be, you know, I mean, I was never a fan of Wasserman Schultz. I was writing, you know, open letters to the DNC in 2014 because it was like, what the fuck? So now she's out, we have a whole new opportunity. And I just hope, and I think that no matter who it is, whether it's Ellison or Perez, I think we have an opportunity now and I think we're going to seize it. So I'm hopeful. I'm truly hopeful.
I am too. And I like them both. And, you know, a Friday night doesn't go by that I don't watch Bill Maher.
Oh, I know. I love Bill Maher.
And Perez was on a couple weeks ago. I think we can't go wrong with either of those.
Mm-hmm.
Those gentlemen.
Yeah.
but I think we've got our work so cut out for us. Like, we're going to be really busy. Us, you and me, and all the people like us. We're writing postcards. We're striking. We're marching. Some of us are thinking about running for office. Some of us are using our platforms tirelessly to put information out there, to start working on the heart and to keep people interested and active, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am so optimistic. And I know, I mean, there are days when I'm also a manic, you know, but I am so optimistic just knowing that we're out here. You've always got something great to say. My mother-in-law in her mid-70s marched with my 8-year-old daughter in Oakland.
Wow.
And they want the same thing.
Yeah.
They want the same thing. And that's freaking beautiful. If you know what I mean? That's beautiful. My daughter said to me, she's a pretty cool kid, and we talk very openly with our kids about equality and about pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when Carrie Fisher died, my little girl, who was Han Solo for Halloween, by the way, said
to
me,
awesome.
She cried, and I held her, and she cried, and she said, I'm really going to miss Carrie Fisher, Mom. And she's a huge Star Wars fan. And I said, I know. And she was so great in Star Wars. She goes, it's not just Star Wars. It's not just Princess Leia, Mom. Carrie Fisher made me feel like I could do anything.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So people, you know, we've got a pretty killer foundation and a lot of really amazing feminists, men and women, who are on our side and who say, you go, girl, and keep doing what you're doing. And so I feel like we have, whether it's Tom Perez or Keith Ellison or, you know, I mean, I can think of a million different examples of what's going to happen for Democrats moving forward and for our party. But I think we have I'm very optimistic about the future.
Well, we're going to end it on that note because it is good. I always want to put something positive, a positive spin on things. So that was the perfect way to end it. So, geez, thank you. And you have to come back. You know that, right?
You have to come back to me. I have to come back to you. We have to always be, you know, with each other.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, and I want you to be my regular partner. You're so awesome at this.
I want to sit in a room with you, though, so we can, like, play footsie, too. One really quick thing. You, in the main show, the first part of the podcast, you said, we got to get under Trump's skin, right? And that's fun for me.
Yeah, me too.
I guess I've got a mean spirit deep down, certain...
Sarcasm.
He's so fun
to
troll a little bit. So I have, you know, you've got your beautiful idea, Why We Resist, and I want to keep doing that. And we've encouraged some of the Lady Brain followers to do it. And we had a beautiful contribution by a friend of mine who's an author, Chris Deliani.
Yes, I shared that. Yeah.
You saw that and shared that.
Yes.
I'll keep that going because I think it's too good. But I am going to do a music parody video with the guys from the band Recliner, San Francisco-based band Recliner. They wrote and produced a beautiful original song for the Lady Brain Show. And we did My Vagina several years ago. Yeah. Well, we're doing one, and it's all going to be Trump-based. And think if it gets under that orange skin.
Yes. Okay. You'll definitely have to send it to me. I'm totally looking forward to this.
Okay. I love you. I love talking with you. So anytime, honey.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.